The mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah is Shofar. Shofar is it's an instrument for bringing Yira. That's the inyan of the Yom, and that's the inyan of the mitzvah. But there's a certain special chelik of Yira that's miyuchid to Shofar. The Navi Amos says, Ha im yitoka shofar be'ir ve'am lo yachradu, is it possible that a shofar should blow in the city and people will not be nechrad? The Anshei Sagdoila in the Nusach that they give us for shofaris, it says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was nizgala in Maimer Sinai, and that gili was a gili with shofaris, it says gam kol olam kolo chol mi panecha ubriyos breishis chardu mi mecha. There was a charada, and that is the chelik of Yira that's miyuchat to shofar, is charada. There are many descriptions. There are many synonyms for Yira. There's Yira, there's Reses, there's Pachat, there's Ema, there's Moira, and Charada is one of them. And because Charada is the unique chelik of Shofar, the unique chelik of Yira that Shofar evokes, to understand Shofar, we need to understand Charada. In the Torah, we find three places where charada is used as something that happened. You have, for instance, ve'ein machrid, but three charadas. The first time we find charada is by Yitzchak, when he gave the brachas to Yaakov, not realizing it, and he told him, and then when Esav came in to demand for the brachas, and Yitzchak says to him, "Who are you?" And he told him, "Ani bincha b'cherecha Esav." Vayechrad Yitzchak harod gal moed. Yitzchak became became nechrad. By the brothers of Yosef, you have that when they found the money in the returned or the, whatever the however the money came to them, it says vayetze libam vayechredu ishal achiv leima mazis asal kimlanu. And finally at Matan Torah it says vayibu yamashlishi beis haboika beikoilus ubrokim ve'onan kovid alahar beikoil shefa chazak meoid vayechrad kolam asha b'machne. So three times where you have the verb of charada, of people being mischarid, and doesn't seem to be any type of common denominator between them. They all were profound, very overwhelming experiences, but how exactly do we categorize charada? The Targum in most of the places teaches the word charada as za, zayin ayin, which means motion. And many of the Rishonim, the Radak and others, Skuni, they explain that the word charada is when you begin to move because of the fear. You begin to tremble. So a fear that is strong enough to cause a person to tremble, that's called charada. Now, so it is a degree of fear, but why would it be koveh a name for itself? Why is that so important? More than that, let's think a little bit about the process of fear. Normally, a person sees something, he recognizes with his mind that it's not good, a person watches an animal, a wild animal, come down the street. So he receives that information. His mind processes a response and says, it would be very smart to go into the house and close the door, or to walk the other street, or to charge at the animal, or whatever. So that would be a motion that would be voluntary, and it would be controlled by seichel. But imagine somebody sees this wild animal and begins to shake and to quiver. So that is a very, very useless type of reaction. It's a panic reaction. So when a person begins shaking, which is really what Zo and No mean, it's a shaking and a movement that the body itself internally begins to fall apart. That's not something that in any way is productive. So Mela, the events that happen in the Torah, we could say, well, that it happened. But when we're talking about Shofar, if Shofar is a tool for us to do tshuva, then what's the point of it evoking Charada, when Charada is really a panic reaction that's useless? One could even wonder about the is there a tachas b'chalf to shaking, trembling, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built it into us as some sort of we're wired for that, and that's the way we react, and why would we be like that? So we know Charada is a type of fear that evokes a trembling. It evokes an internal movement, an uncontrolled movement, and we know that it happened a few times, and we know that Shofar is geared to that. But what's the point of it, and what's the purpose of it? There's a medrash. The medrash in the beginning, Vayishlach, the very first medrash, Vayishlach. It's in some other places also, but this is a place where it's there almost in its full form. It says, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim lefanav, Reb Pinchas ben Reuven Pasach. He starts with a pasuk. Kuma Hashem kad nefanav, achri'eyu palta nafshi merashach habecha. Reb Pinchas Omer, Reb Pinchas said, Chomesh pa'omim David mekim HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'sefer Tehillim. There are five times in Tehillim where David HaMelech tries to be mekim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word mekim is to make upright, like lehokim. It's when somebody falls, you pick him up and you try to put him back in his place. So five times David HaMelech tries to be mekim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he brings five psukim, kum Hashem Hashem Elokai, kum Hashem Apecho, kum Hashem, and so on. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, David Bani, afilu atamekimini kama pamim eni kam. You can try as many times to upright me, you'll not succeed. So then Chazal give us a particular instance when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will become a second one. Reb Shimon Yoino Amar, Ata Okum, Kol Zman Shimuchpeches Ba'Ofek Aviyochel. In other words, as long as the Shechina is encrusted with grime and dirt, the Shechina will not rise. Elo Kasher Gia Yisayim, Shekose Bo Yisnari Mi'Ofek Kumish V'Yerushalayim. Shake us off from earth. Stand up, the captured one of Jerusalem. In other words, the Shechina, which is the captured one of Yerushalayim. It's what's called in the Sfarim the Shechinta Begelusa. When is it kumi? When does it stand upright and get out of its galus? When it's Yisnari Me'ofa. But Oyis Eshor. In other words, the Neir Mim Koyim Kotshoi is a certain Hanhag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a certain type of His Iris that only then can you have a Kima. Omer V'Achazavach gives a mashal. Kehadot Tarnegalta, like a hen, a rooster, the menana garmei, it shakes itself off min kitma, from the dust and the dirt that it's become, that, you know, it's become entangled in it. That's the end of the of this part of Chazal. So Chazal tell us that in the matzav of Shechinta Begelusa, no amount of kima will help. And the only thing that will help is when there's a hanhaga called Ne'er Memkoyim Kodshei. And that Ne'er Memkoyim Kodshei, the mashal is Kadota and Galta de Menana Gamei Mekitma. Like a targoz shakes off from earth. What's the mashal telling us? What do we, I mean, even trying to understand the sequence of events. No amount of helping HaKadosh Baruch Hu get his feet kaviyachol would work. It's only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu dusts himself off, like a tarnagol that dusts himself off from the earth. That's when it's kima. What are we talking about? What does it mean? So let's try to go zero in on the mashal that Chazal gave us. Imagine you have a tarnagol, and a tarnagol is always busy in the yard playing with dirt and schmutz and all sorts of things like that. And then somebody will take it, put the tarnagol in a box, and put the box on a truck, and drive the truck 100 miles an hour. The tarnagol will not become any more clean because of it. Even if you fly it in an airplane and it's going 600 miles an hour, it doesn't become any more clean. The dirt that's stuck to it sticks with it, because when something travels, all of it is traveling together. So if I'm wearing a jacket and I get into a car and the car goes fast, the jacket goes with me together at the same speed I'm going. And sitting through an airplane and so on. So moving something from place to place will not make it any cleaner. Imagine now I take something, I don't know, you can't put a chicken onto a centrifuge, but something, you put something like that onto a centrifuge and it begins spinning, then dirt begins to fly off. And the reason is because an external motion deals with the entire object as it is, as one unit. And that's how, and it will keep dealing with it as one unit. And whatever was true of it when it was sitting still will be true of it when it's going 1,000 miles an hour. That's because there's some outside motion that's taking and moving this. When you put something on let's say a centrifuge or something where the thing itself develops internal motion, when you begin shaking something, so that means the object itself begins to move. As the object itself begins to vibrate and to move, you begin to get a separation from those elements that are the object itself to those elements that were simply attached to it, even if quite strongly, it was entangled quite strongly. So when I begin, when the tarnagol begins to shake its wings off, it doesn't shake its wings off, it's shaking itself. And then the dirt automatically goes off, because it's an internal movement, and the chicken's body itself is moving at a certain rate. It no longer is affecting the dirt, because the dirt is really external at that point, and it begins to vibrate at its own speed and it falls off and so on. That is a process of something's neanua helping it become separate out itself from those things that have become very, very closely identified with itself, but it's not itself. So, Shechinta Begelusa is a situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in our Ruchnis Dikamatziv. And part of being in Golus is you pick up a lot of things that become encrusted, so much so that it almost feels like it's part of it. So whichever Golus Klal Yisrael was in, there were things that they learned from Yisraelim that became part of them. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no matter what you'll do to me, you're not going to set me right. You need to start the process of nianua, legramei. The gears we have is to start shaking itself. Some have gatfei, which means wings. But you start to shake yourself. And that's when the dirt separates off. What the shaking does is it separates the dirt off. So let's go back. So we have here a hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Ne'or, which obviously it's a hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's what's relevant mostly to us, because you're talking about a process of tshuva and tikkun and so on. And therefore, we have the need to shake something internally. Something begins to shake, and that separates out the essence of the thing, the things that have gotten stuck onto it or entangled in it, but are not the essence of it. That's called Ne'or. And that is the process of Nianua, of Za, of this type of Yira. There are types of Yira that they are like the first example, like the Yira of something which makes me think of a course of action. So I know that I'm going to go, that if I do the things that are wrong, I'm going to suffer consequences, either in this world or to come. I stroke my beard and I say, you know what? It might be wise to avoid it. We won't do this Avera. We'll do this, we'll do that, the other thing. That is normal Yira. And that's Yira Shamayim. There's a problem. There are things that we have absorbed, and there are things that are so much part of us that we can't even identify it as being something that's bad or something that is the alien to us. And no amount of thinking will make me give it up or change my ways. This is right. This is me. This is the core of who I am. So there's no way you can actually deal with that, because Yira works well for outside things. So therefore, I things that I know to be wrong, but I do it anyway because it's easier, it's more pleasant or whatever it is. So Yira works for that. But the core Ra is the mud that has gotten so caked on our body, it seeped into all the cracks of our body, that it's, for all practical purposes, we see it as part and parcel of ourselves. What happens then? So there's a type of Yira called Harada. The first time there was somebody who was Nechrad was Yitzchak. And Yitzchak spent a lifetime with Esav. That Esav is Bechor. We don't understand how it happened. We don't understand how Yitzchak could make that mistake and so on and so forth. Whatever it is, that was the Metzias. So Yitzchak Avinu didn't see Esav was him. It's his Bechor. He calls Esav in and he says to him I want to give you a bracha. Hine zakanti leidati yemoisi, and now I want you to be the one that gets the brachas. I'm giving over myself to you because you're me. You're my bracha. You're my extension. That's Yitzchak saw Esav as his extension. And one moment something happens, and he says, "Miata, who are you?" he identified himself as Bechoras, but he realized it's not. If Hashgacha had it that someone else came and took those brachas away, and he's a Bechor, so Esav is not a Bechor. Vayechad Yitzchak Charod Gedola Ad Moed. This was a realization that what he thought was his right arm was an artificial limb. That's not him. That's Charada. The second time Charada happened was by the Shvatim. The Shvatim, they didn't perceive that what they did to Yosef was bad or wrong in any way. They perceived it as a heroic act. They sat as a Sanhedrin. And they were Dan Yosef as a Rodef. And they did something which they thought was extremely brave. I mean, it says later about Shevet Levi, it says by the Chet HaEgel that one of the compliments of Shevet Levi is that, you know, Achiv Lehikir, he Ishba Achiv, they were able to stand up against their brethren. It takes tremendous gross effort. They said, Rabbi Yisai, we're Klal Yisrael, and one of us is a roidif, just out for power. They were so confident, Rashi says before, they were mishatav to Shechina with them. Rashi says the reason why the HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell Yaakov was because they were mishatav to Shechina with them, and the Shechina was not allowed to tell anybody. This wasn't an Avera, this was their greatest Messiah's nefesh, to be able to kill a brother who's a roidef. That's how they lived for 22 years. And then something happens. Something happens where they begin to shake, and all of a sudden, it says, they vayetze libam, vayechudu isha lachiv leimam, mazes lakim lanu. That there was a moment when the thing that they held dearest to them, the greatest chus, began shaking loose. Before they mentioned something about Avla Shemim Manach Malachina Shainu Tsaras Nafsha Bishani Aleinu. But the Rishonim say over there was more, they should have used Rachmanis despite the fact that maybe it's Chaim. He said they should have been Merachim on him. Here, the world began shaking. And when it began shaking, it shook off. People say that they make fun of somebody who does tshuva in a difficult moment. They say there are no... yeah, there are no atheists in a foxhole, and that's understood as being because you're so desperate for Yeshua that you hang on to anything. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that a person lives with a lot of psalim. A person lives with a lot of avodah zaras. A person lives with koychotzim yadi and this and that, and when a moment of charada comes, it shakes off. And finally, Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim had been in 200 years in Mitzrayim. They had been completely absorbed in Mitzri culture. The Rambam says in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, "Kimat kot nekar ikar godol hazeh." It was a fleeting moment away from having lost the whole Messiahs of Emunah and Yichud Hashem from Avraham Avinu. They were very, very tame. So yes, there were 49 days when we prepared ourselves for Matan Torah. But you can only prepare yourself by working on the things that you recognize as being alien. Those things that are still, I know it's not me and it's not what I should do, but it's something that I have a hard time letting go of, so fine. So working on it consciously can help. But the things that I see as part of myself, this offer has gotten to be me. What takes that away? That's the Vayechadam. That is the Charada that was at Har Sinai. The charada of the Kol Shofar is what helped them get rid of that as well. When we talk about the Shofar of Rosh Hashanah, it says Gam Kol Abrias Cholu and Chardu Mecca. The part of the point of Rosh Hashanah is returning the Bria to a certain state of, to a certain pristine state that was its real Metzias, and getting rid of everything, the garbage that's accumulated, is that Vayera Rosh Hashanah. Those things that we know and we're aware of them, those things, we have Yom Kippur. We say Vidu, we itemize and so on. But before we go to Yom Kippur, there's so much that's part of us that is not, we wouldn't think of doing Tshuva on Yom Kippur. And let's take the place where we see it. A person has a certain personality. He likes to be cool. He's an ish emes. He doesn't toe the line because he's emes. He does the things that, you know, the way he sees it, because he's not doing things with other people do it, and so on. That becomes our personality. Everyone has his little esav that he feels is b'chayr. In each person, gefi what his particular weakness is. So the things that we do and we're aware that they're a weakness and they're wrong, fine, we can go straight to Yom Kippur. But so much of what we do is part and parcel of us. And I would resist any attempt to take it away from me. Another person is the Yosef, it's the Achi Yosef. He's got so much righteous anger and hatred. Was haste? This person, he deserves to be pushed out. This person needs to be driven out. If he would start with a Yom Kippur, then he would resolve immediately to be twice as to be ready for him twice as much. But when a person has a charada, when something happens that's machrid, and you begin to shake inside, then all of a sudden you realize, you know, that's not me, that's not who I should be, that's not the real me. This is a layer of jealousy, hatred, boredom, whatever it is that's became encrusted, and I mistook it for myself. For many years, for hundreds, maybe thousands of years, Klal Yisrael lived in Golos. In a society that, first of all, they were separated from by a big wall. The church made sure there was a big wall. There was a physical ghetto. It was two different cultures. There wasn't, and there were a lot of mutual hatred, and therefore our being influenced by that culture was minimal. Baruch Hashem, we've been fortunate to live in, if at least 200 years or so, or we've been fortunate to live in a place where the host country and countries are welcoming and nice and pleasant, and it's a very, very positive milieu, and we tend to absorb. If you're not walled off and you're not sort of circling the wagons, and so you absorb. And you absorb things that not only have you stopped realizing that it's coming from there, but faket, this is your Yiddishkeit. On that, we have the v'koil shefer chazik moed v'yecha kam shebamachne. The shefer is machred the Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael, when they begin to shake, they begin to shake off a lot of the trappings. There were mitzri trappings. There were umasolim around us, and that we had mistaken thought as part of us. The koil shayf of Rosh Hashanah is specifically there to evoke charada, because the first step before you can be misakin anything in a conscious way to go and to approach things and say, I'll do this, and then I'll take care of this, and I'll work on this, I'll work on that, is to emotionally identify it as something that's outside. When we've identified something, there's a halacha, an ilchus tuma, for a few different areas. There are certain tumas that are called tumas ayitzim and aguf, emissions from the body that have the halachic status of being tummy. And there's a concept, a halachic status of nizdazu evarv. It's a Mishnah Nida, first Mishnah. It's daf mem. It says that if a person was eating truma v'nizdazu evarv, in other words, he feels the beginning of the motion of some dava that's metamehim going outside. So there's halacha, and the Gemara speaks about something that's oimid le'oker. It's very possible that it's metame from the time that it was oimid le'oker, even before it left the guf. In other words, as soon as the item itself begins to move outwards, that's the moment of separation between me and the thing itself. The yira that's special for Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah we sort of set everything back to its previous form, because Rosh Hashanah needs to act as the preparation for Yom Kippur, we must, the avoda must be an avoda of defining our real self. And the hardest part of that is getting rid of everything that had seeped in and become so encrusted that we have a hard time separating it out. There's a story from one of the great Balei Avodah of last generation, the Alter Nevardik. He, for a time, he was a miller. And he once heard his wife tell a neighbor, "My husband's shirts, I've gotten so full of flour that I have a hard time washing it out." And that shook him. And he dropped his occupation and he went back to learn full time. In other words, as long as I can keep it as an outside thing, it's sort of, I'm me and I'm Isaac in milling flour to make a living. So that's doable. But once the flour becomes part of my shirt, then it's changing me. It's coming into the core of defining what I am and who I am. That's a point where one has to stop. So the avodah Rosh Hashanah is to be nechrad from the kol shayfa. Nechrad means where you begin to vibrate inside, where you begin to shake. In Yiddish, you say, "I'm a tresel, tresel tzachop." If a person begins to shake, to shiver, he shakes off all sorts of things. In other words, when a person goes through a hard kufa, when a person is filled with a chrada, then all of a sudden, there's things that he thought were so important to him, and things that he thought he couldn't live without, and things that he thought are part of his core metzias, stop feeling that way. That is the nekar stage of it. And that already is the big step forward towards the tikkun. The once I've been able to emotionally, intellectually separate out the parts that crept in, once the charada defined to us that the Esav is now a ben b'chayr, and that selling Yosef is not who we are, but it's who we should never have ever been, and that that 200 years worth of being steeped in Mitzri culture has put a lot of Mitzri in us. Once a person begins to tremble inside, to be nechar inside, that's the moment of nechar. And then the road is prepared to be able to work on it consciously and to be attacking it fully on Kippur. Good job.